Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Good evening and welcome to Slamfire Radio. This is episode 580. Tonight is November 6th. 2024. I am one of your hosts, Kyle.
I'm another one of your hosts, Dustin.
I'm Caltown Tony.
And I'm Adriel.
Not bad.
Did good.
Yeah. Getting better with this.
It'll only take a couple of hundred episodes. You'll get it.
We're going to get straight into it. Yeah.
Let's get right into what we did with guns. And Dustin, why don't you lead us off?
Ooh, okay, so what I did in guns, I reloaded some 9mm, which is always good, because there's thousands of cases.
You find some.
A couple hundred rounds, nothing crazy. I was just down there for a couple of hours, and it's just something to do. I've been really, really busy with a bunch of different projects. Did some gear prep, because I get to go duck hunting on Friday for the first time, which is really exciting.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm actually going to film someone else duck hunting, but I'm also going to go duck hunting, so that's going to be cool. So a little bit of gear prep for that. They got me covered for guns, but, you know, the licenses and all the other stuff that I have to do. And then just making sure I've got, you know, dry, warm clothes and all of the camera gear that's going to come with me. And then the other thing I did in guns was I finally got my RPAL... it's approved. I'm getting my RPAL again, which was so much more of a hassle than it should have been. Everybody knows it's like, make sure you apply for that renewal 6 months before. And I did. It expires at the end of this month, and I applied for it back in June. But for like the last 4 months, it's been sitting, I'll sign into the thing and it'll be like, yeah, it's been like, it's in the process where like, we're just, you know, analyzing the details and, you know, we'll get back to you. And then like my union sent me a message at the beginning of the month that, hey, your license expires at the end of this month. And that is a requirement for you to maintain standing in your position and title. And I'm like, yes, I also know that it is a requirement for me to continue operating my firearms business that I have this license. So I started calling the Canadian Firearms Program. It was horrible. It took hours, and the first lady hung up on me after she told me essentially she wanted to give me a fax number and a snail mail address to reach out to someone. And I was like, well, it's not 1986, so that fax number doesn't do me a whole lot of good, and a snail mail contact is probably not the fastest way. Can you put me in touch with someone? Big sigh. Hold. And then she left me on hold for 20 minutes and then hung up. So I called back, and I got a different guy, Josh, who's awesome, and he was super helpful. Inside of 10 minutes, got my license pushed over the finish line. You know, I told him, I'm like, dude, 20 days and I can't do my job anymore, and that's not good. So, you know, can you please help? And he did. So my license is going to be printed in the mail soon. I'm very excited about it.
What did they have any detail? Did they need to know what gun range you were part of, or did they, like, what was the?
I submitted all of that. They had all of it. They didn't give me an answer. They didn't. They legitimately were like, it's in process. Like, it's been like processed, and I can't remember what the exact wording that verbiage they used, but like, it's been processed, but somebody like so-and-so is like looking at it again. And I'm like, you guys literally gave me a business license for all of the things. I have been through all of the background checks, and you just reissued my business license like 2 months ago. So like, let's hurry along the RPAL that goes along with this. The first lady, she had no interest. She's like, can't get it done. No, this is an impossible task. And I'm like, well, it's been sitting there for almost 6 months, and I'm not going to not do my job because you don't want to do yours. So, but yeah, anyway, it got sorted out. Josh helped me out, and that was awesome. And yeah, that's about all I did, apart from I lit my AR-15 behind me here just for folks. So.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah, my question is, listening back to podcast was Steve Lee, who wrote our intro sound, right? Yep. And he mentioned that there's like way more levels to a PAL in Australia.
Yeah.
Why don't we have that, right? Just like, don't stop at our PAL or like even yep. one higher grandfathered prohibs, but like go up, like put the theatrical license in the same thing.
So how about this? You're trusted to own a firearm. What does the different firearms make a difference?
I don't know.
Why do we need to add extra layers and more complication to it?
We're going to discuss about that later in the year, but it's just like Dustin's application should be on the top of the pile. Like your livelihood depended on it.
Well, so that's the thing. Normally, like if my livelihood wasn't a requirement, they would have just flipped me off. And the first lady, she was ready to, right? She wanted multiple letters from my union, my employer. I'm like, look, I'm a hired gun. I'm a contractor. My business is the thing that I pay. Like, would you like me to send you a letter from me? Because that's what you're going to get that says I need, like, it's not me telling me that I need the firearms license to continue doing my job with firearms. That's the federal government. And your job as the person working for the Canadian Firearms Program is to facilitate what I need to continue remaining on that side of the law. And then on top of it, like I said to her and I said to Josh, like, you guys just issued me a firearms business license for theatrical armory. There are things that I can possess that nobody else in the country can possess, but we're going to drag our feet on the PAL and RPAL on my like fourth renewal. This is absurd. It's not like it's a new license. It's like my fourth renewal. So anyway, that was a whole thing. Oh, the one other thing that was fun, that was gun related. I was at Princess Auto today and I was wearing, one of my favorite, gun rights or human rights hoodies, with the AR-15 on it. I got two compliments while I was there. So
there you go. Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
They should. That's what the conditions are for, dude, right? Your theatrical should be just a part of your license condition.
Yeah, should.
Anyway, I don't know. Bureaucracy is something I don't understand. So,
designed that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Who's next, Dustin?
Tony, what'd you do?
All right, I shot the rifle match at the BTSA. Unfortunately, we likely won't have one for 2025 because Taylor is going on, well, most of Team Canada is going on the World Shoot for both PCC and handgun. Unfortunately, because PCC is kind of the new division here, they didn't schedule it quite right. It used to be a three-year rotation, so pistol. And then I forgot if it's shotgun first, rifle later, or the other way around. But so pistol, shotgun, rifle. But now it's you have four divisions, so it's pistol and PCC on the same year, which is, to me, a pretty odd choice because if you're shooting pistol, you're likely going to shoot PCC. If you're shooting rifle, maybe you will shoot PCC as well. But maybe you should have put it with shotgun, or maybe just make the whole rotation 4 years in a row instead. So Taylor probably need more time to practice and won't be able to organize a rifle match like this for next year. But it was a great match.
Why don't you organize one?
I don't want to do MD yet. I don't know if I could. Maybe. I'm already trying to flip the whole script on the BTSA IT situation. So maybe we'll take baby steps. Like, freaking, I'm in there for a month. The whole billing
thing. I'm sure there's people there that could support you.
Upside down.
It's a big enough club.
Yeah, maybe. We already don't have really enough people to put on matches, and everyone's busy. It is one of the loudest matches of the year, which is very exciting. And I found out 223's loudness doesn't come from shorter barrel length. It comes from the breaks. 20-inch barrels, like the one Taylor shot, gigantic break, still loud. Sounds great, mm-hmm. though.
I mean,
I was just shooting. Imagine how loud it gets when it gets to down to 10 inches.
I was going to say, when you cut the barrel off, down to, I had a 7.5 inch, and I promise you, 223 is noisy out of that.
No, we had a guy shooting a 10-inch braked. Sounds the exact same.
It so, feels different to fire, though. Like
yeah, when, but I'm not shooting it. I'm just the tablet guy. Mm-hmm. So I was shooting the very cheap, toying around Savage 822. A few FESR, so really not really any modification on this gun. Spark 2, as what I recommended. Nice. Spark 2 Red Dot. And I have a, this is more for Maple Seed ORPS kind of thing. This is a Packmire decel, was it called a decelerator? Something of another Packmire. I think this is a medium sized. This is more for a length of pull. This is, gun is now it's kind of more perfect, but used to be a little bit short for me, especially if you're behind a long scope. In the future, if I'm shooting action with it, probably not. I'll probably take this off because it's a little grippy on your clothes. So when you're on low ready, it's kind of grabbing your shirt when you're coming up, mm-hmm. or if you're doing a reload. I was running the 25-round banana mags wherever possible. Depends on the ammo type and the weather condition. If it's shining, it seems it'll be a little bit better. If it's a little bit cloudy and windy because the temperature is dropping, it seems to work a little bit worse. And I got some malfunctions, some nose dives. And I have this is the cheap full polymer mag pull. Bipod on here. I really like this. And you see, I'm a really bad gun owner. I haven't even cleaned it yet. Taylor got creative and decided, oh, there's also a mark here too. Decided to build, well, technically two, but build a stage surrounding a VTAC barricade. I think going back to his three gun days. So there's some, you know, white paint, black, red paint rubbing off of the gun.
Which mags are you running in that gun, Tony?
I've run both the 25s and the 10-round rotaries, and they all work meh.
Wait, 25-round, which ones?
I think there's only one kind, Butler Creek.
You know what? Good for you. Good.
It's not a 10-22, so it's fine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because there is no pistol.
Yeah.
So it's okay. I forgot to say the important part for the whole no rifle match next year thing. We are planning a PCC provincials for Alberta at the BTSA. So if you are shooting, if you're in the Calgary area, you shoot PCC, you want to check out, you are black badge certified and you like to shoot. Well, if you're black badge certified, you wouldn't know about it. But if you're from out of province, maybe you want to come and check it out. It should be like a similar, smaller match kind of concept, so one-day match. I'll be there. And you can see a lot of moon clips on my desk. So this is what I borrowed from Steve. Shout out to Steve, or one of our board of directors, and he lent me a set of other things. You got the moon clips. You have your, I guess, cylinder checker, so you can, I don't know, practice fake reloads. I don't know. Steel Challenge, you don't need to reload, but that's what it is. You have your makeshift Mooner. There's also a 3D printed version, which is very cool. That's how you basically install the cartridges on the clips themselves. There's also a Demooner, which is just kind of a tube, so you hook it on there. Like so, and you kind of rip on it. These fits pretty tightly. If you're getting more into revolver shooting, God knows why. maybe if you want to be like Tony, you want to be competitive in IPSC, but can't figure out a way. There's no standard semi-spec for how the moon clip groove is cut. So there are different sizes, different thickness of moon clips. The benefit of thinner ones being they're more compatible with everything. if you go on to, for example, I think it's called Revolver Supplies. There's a company, yeah, Revolver Supplies. And they give you a lookup chart on which type of moon clip you want to use with which brand of brass. So a few of the common ones you will see would be, for example, I have SMB 38 specials. You have PMC 38 specials, which are more value-friendly. If you're loading your own, you might be looking at Starline brass. So they will give you a recommendation on what thickness of moon clips you would want to get. So they're not flopping around too much. This is considered decent, I guess. So when you're dropping into the cylinder, it's actually not going to, like, all the rounds are going to spread different ways and you can't drop it in there. And Steve hasn't invested in a magical tool called a BMT Mooner. So if you're getting into action shooting revolver, like these kind of things where you need to load up a lot of moon clips, and I think more importantly, unload moon clips very quickly, there's the BMT Mooner. Jerry Michalek showed them off once. He didn't mention the names, but it took me a while to, like, find what they are. They have a base and they have a cap. When you twist the cap, you will moon every one of them. So BMT stands for Better Mouse Trap. So just search for that. You can thank me later. And here are the moon clips themselves. Slow things. So this is kind of different from the traditional speed loader style where you have kind of a tail cap you discard. Bought stuff from Tenda, and this is the bullets I mentioned from a few weeks ago that CamPro has. They have muzzleloader bullets now. So I have them in hand. They're real. These are 240 grain, fully copper plated. I guess they might have a TXHP. I'm not sure what that means. I'm thinking it might have, it's maybe a polymer.
Hollow point copper. That's probably what it's going to be. It's tipped, but it's hollow point under there.
Okay. What's a TX for then?
I don't know. TSX? Like the TSX?
No, it have lead warnings on it, so I'm pretty sure it's not lead? TSX.
Oh, wow.
The fully copper plated, right? You can't play copper on copper, can you? Maybe you can, I don't know.
No, if it's copper plated, it's lead inside.
Oh, yeah. I have the belt because I'm going to compete with the revolver. Steel challenge. And you have your, this is not really important for my application, but you have your 3D printed lugs on the hangers for your loaded moon clips to go on. Well, I guess it will go face down like so. So you can load two on each. And this is a double alpha belt. It's very nice. Also, because for Steel Challenge anyways, there is no restriction on USPSA on what kind of a holster you can get, so you can have like a lot of clearance for your muzzle.
So wrong.
So, what do you mean? Like the holster or?
Just the whole thing.
Yeah.
Revolvers are for cowboys. They're not for competition.
That's true.
I'm gonna wear my cowboy hat. I don't know. Like wear my cybernetic eye and then I'm going to shoot a revolver. Makes sense? Yeah. Makes sense.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. When I was at Steve's house, he showed me his safe. Oh, guns, awesome. So what he is shooting is a Smith & Wesson V-Comp. I pull the trigger. It feels pretty good. Although when I'm shooting it, the trigger weight will be increased. He is loading exclusively Federal primers to get a lower trigger pull, basically. But yeah, the V-Comp is very nice. And I like the aesthetics of it a little bit better than what I was originally thinking about getting if the freeze was to go away, which is the TR-8, which is more of a combat style thing. And you can have a Picatinny reel on top. So I'm going to put my Vortex Huey on top. Yeah. Make it down like quadruple the weight. I don't know. Because it's
throwing a Huey on top of it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes.
Too much recoil, we're going to make it heavy, right? There's no rules. It's like the open division, but with wheel guns. You can shoot Steel Challenge that way. You can't shoot USPSA that way. They don't actually have a revolver optics. I guess they don't have a classic optics division either. So,
just you wait. We're gonna get hunting with handguns, and then we're gonna be able to put like long optics on handguns. You'll have a whole division all to you. It'll be great.
You're gonna wear your double alpha holster race type holster because that's the only thing that will fit that freaking optic on the top of the gun. You're going to drop your pistol somewhere. So when he was showcasing me his safe, it's very well organized and everything, but he have like dampered the moisture absorbing stuff.
Yep.
That have the like the absorbent on top, and then they have a little water tank on the bottom.
Dangerous.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So he learned that the hard way once already. So he have a tray below it, but I just want to bring that up to all the listeners that make sure you have a backup way to contain that liquid. That liquid is, I think maybe it's something in the chemicals that make it more corrosive than just water. And when we brought out some stuff, he didn't even notice previously, but there are some little tiny corrosive marks on his one of the barrels and one of the sling studs. He didn't even notice. It's like half corroded away. Good thing it's only just the sling stud, so you can, you know, replace it. But it can be serious stuff, especially when you have a spill like that. You want to check your safe pretty thoroughly, I guess. That's, yeah. So warning. All my long guns are in open air because that's just how I roll. So it's not as big of a concern. Alberta is dry enough that it's not a concern. And last thing, this is a contrary point to Dustin. I didn't even ask for my RPEL. They sent me a new one because I got it restricted. And the new one, finally, after carrying an MP sheet of condition paper for like 3 years, finally you have a condition on it. But like, why? Just learn.
Standard terms and conditions apply? Is that what
you're standards. you can move this firearm, your firearms from your house to the ranges and whatever.
I would love a competition. I would love for anybody to provide any piece of paper that has less use and value, like any government mandated required piece of paper documentation that has less value and use than that stupid conditions piece of paper.
Dustin, that you have to have. You underestimate the government, my
friend. There's a lot of stuff. I don't know if in government they do, but I know in a lot of manufacturing stuff they do. This page is intentionally left blank.
Yeah, I always love that in a manual.
It's like, okay, you're confusing people less, but now I can't even take note on that piece of paper. Like, what is going on? So finally I have conditions, but like, you're halfway there. It looks so close to Alberta driver license right now. Alberta driver license just have the condition on the back. I have a condition because I wear glasses. It says condition A right on there, right there. I don't need to carry additional piece of paper. Like
printing it on the card. That's absurd, Tony. Come on.
Yeah, it's like the barcode, you can't put the information database. That's crazy.
There is no room for logic here.
No. Real quick, Tony, I just one little addendum to mine. Thank you for that tip for the 357 Magnum from Tenda last week. I bought like 300 rounds, and that was like the first treat I bought myself in a minute.
What are you going to shoot out of? A Henry?
No, I have a GP100. I love my
little Ruger.
Don't you shake your head at me.
No.
I've had two of them.
I love that gun. That gun, all right, hands down, real quick. That gun, hands down, when I take new people shooting, ends up being always the gun that they like the best. Put like 38 in it. And mm-hmm. and it is a little laser beam that everybody seems to like. Because in double action, it's got a super light, easy to pull trigger. And it's got a really smooth double action trigger. I love that gun for new shooters so much.
I looked into that gun. The only problem is it doesn't have 8 shots.
No, it's got 6.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I need to race it.
Well, it's Joel's gun from The Last of Us. It's actually why I had it. I had a 6.86 as well, but I couldn't have two of essentially the same gun, just like a Smith & Wesson and a Ruger that are the same. So I kept that one because it's Joel's.
Good reason.
Yep.
Tony, sorry. You done your thing?
Yeah, I'm done my thing. Let's go to you next then, since you're waiting.
I suppose. let's see. Did a PAL course in Lloyd. Went out Saturday. Did that. Good times. And then Sunday, I went for a scouting trip for hunting. So I'm doing a big hunting trip on the long weekend. Tony might be coming out. And Ian might be coming out as well. Ooh. Mr. Runkle.
Oh, yeah. You guys are going to have a fun group.
Yeah, yeah. And a couple of my other buddies, is some listeners and a couple of good hunting buddies I've had for pretty much all my life. So we're going to get out there and maybe shoot some deer. Maybe we'll do cool. that.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was scouting across the river from the place that we were looking at. And it's an hour and a half away from just across the river.
Oh, oh God, there's no bridge.
Yeah, there's no bridge. And it wasn't that good. Oh. We like scouted a bunch of stuff. There's deer there. It. There's deer, but just not no as decent many. Camping spots. Yeah, it wasn't nearly as good as the other spot for camping spots.
What gun are you gonna bring?
Guns.
Yeah, guns. Guns.
Yeah.
Everybody get an SKS. This is a standard issue for the communist army.
Just for the PLA friends that I've got, yeah.
I'm not gonna shoot that.
No, Tony, I'll put a 6.5 in your hands or a 243 or something like that if we're close in. I'm bringing my 300 blackout as well, and my kid wanted his GSG because he's probably gonna slay a bunch of small games, so I brought that out for him too. If you have any pellet guns, bring them out, because I'm gonna set out a bunch of little like steel targets, and in the middle of the day when we got nothing to do, we'll shoot those. So I've been kind of like packing up. So the scouting trip was to check out a different spot. Wasn't that good. We went back to the other spot. Yeah, it's still tons of deer there. So, they're there. Checked out this spot that we found some rubs last time. They're still being serviced. So there's still a big stinky buck that's walking that line. That's in there somewhere. So like we'll set up some blinds somewhere in there. Pack my rattles along. See if I can coax them in, or one of the other guys can coax them in. We'll see. And then my gray birch stock came in today. There it is. Now they originally sold these that like they attached to the pick, and now they're just a direct. So I have the folding thing, but I needed to attach it. They only make it to attach to their chassis now, but I made it to attach to this thing. This is a pick rail riser that I've made a gray birch adapter out of.
For the listeners, you can find a conspicuous silver spot on a whole black gun. I will lead your imagination to understand why.
I still have some sanding and filing and whatnot to do, and some painting to do, but essentially that's what it's going to look like. So it's an ultralight 1022 build. It is 4.1 pounds. I have a 12-inch carbon fiber wrapped barrel on the front. Which isn't the lightest barrel you can possibly put on here, but it's like the lightest thick barrel you can put on there. Red dot. And then on the stock, like it comes with a cheek rest and everything. I had to pull it all off just to get like, you have to get your face way down, because this red dot on here is low. This is made for like a stock that like goes down on the back, like a traditional stock, right? And I have a straight stock. So you really got to ram your face down on there to get it on target. Well, it's better now that the cheek.
It's also a pistol dot. They're just lower in general.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could get the pick rail adapter for it and get a different plate, but
No.
So gotta, expensive.
Gotta save those weight.
Yeah, gotta save the weight. Yeah. So now it's like very lightweight. What am I going to use it for? Steel Challenge, I think I'll use it for 22 Steel Challenge, because it's nice and light and very quick to point around. I might use it for grouse. Not this weekend, because my kid's going to have his GSG out there, and that's good enough. Then the other thing, this actually, a couple of weeks ago, YouTuber Gonzo Gustavo, or I can't remember what his name is, he gave me one of these rear charging handles for the Raven. Not the good one, not the Gen 2, but the Gen 1. So still thankful for that. So, yeah. It's non-reciprocating, and we'll see if it.
You may have a reason to keep the side charging on there, because this weekend at Taylor's match, Taylor was at an 8-round stage, empty start. He had an issue with the first round chambering, and he did not have a side charger. He didn't have a.
There's no way to push it back in. Yeah.
So he looked at it. He took a chance. It didn't go bang. So that the whole stage was, well, for him, for his speed, it was a sore weight, but
yeah. yeah, I will be leaving the side charger on there. There's no reason why I shouldn't leave it on there. So the side charger will stay on and yeah, just stay
there. It's your improved one too.
I have the factory one, but I prefer the improved one. It's got rubber on there.
For those looks, I'm a sucker for looks. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, me too. That's why it's on there. let's see. Oh yeah. Last week we published our audio only podcasts on YouTube. So Google's solution to their never ending problem of having too much money is they just keep throwing out new podcast apps. And their new idea is like, oh, it'll be on YouTube. It'll be YouTube Music, and we'll put podcasts on there. So therefore, our YouTube channel now has like every episode doubled. There's the video version, and then there's an audio-only version. So if you're going to go driving or something like that, and you want to listen, and you don't have Apple Podcasts or another podcast app, I guess you can use the YouTube Music one and just download the audio-only versions. They'll have the Slamfire thumbnail. They won't have like a different thumbnail on it. They'll always just have that basic one on there, and that'll be audio only to save on data, I guess. Yeah, and then this weekend, going hunting, I'm just looking at, you know, packing stuff up, packing up my hunting clothes, my rifles. There's actually quite a bit of stuff. I have a checklist over here, but I have extra stuff that I'm taking.
You got to send that to me. I feel like just every time I'll be ill. I think every time I show up okay, but I always feel like when I'm leaving the door, I'm ill prepared. Also, just for listeners, I found this too much fun. Just the moon clip and the bullets.
Your own fidget toy.
I can't stop. Yeah, just fidget toy. I never really like proper fidget toys. I don't know why. It's just a thing. So I'm just, I don't know, playing around. I'm going to break this moon clip. These things are somewhat prone to breakage if you like force them on there with your mooning tool, so probably not recommended. They're just spring steel.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Maybe we can talk about it for our main topic. Talk about like packing for hunting and that kind of thing. We have done the lists before, but I got a whole bunch of stuff that I've added to my list, so maybe I'll go get it. I have it on a post-it upstairs, like all the extras that I'm putting on top.
Did you get robbed? It looks like a whole bunch of stuff's missing from your wall.
No, it's all bagged. So I have two bags here with a whole bunch of stuff, and I have a whole bunch of guns around me because I've been doing like last minute mods and that kind of thing, like putting the charging handle on that or dicking around with the stock on that one or rescoping some other stuff. So it's kind of like all scattered around me right now.
She's going full communism. Here's your rifle. Comrade?
They're all the same.
Well, exactly. That's how you standardize an army so they can have parts interchangeability.
Yeah. No, I don't think I have. Do I have any duplicates? Yes. Maple Seed duplicates, and I have two Palcors duplicates, but I'm getting rid of one of them.
Really?
I had two Wildcats for Palcors for two of my kits, and I'm replacing one of them with a WSMCR.
Oh, nice.
What? That's a very expensive.
It's a clapped out one. It's super clapped out.
Is it yours or is it you bought a different one?
Yeah, it's mine. Yeah, it's missing some parts. Thinking to the PAL course, like that I did as an instructor and that I did when I first did mine, like all the guns they had were like the crappiest, cheapest stuff you would never run into. And I wouldn't, like, a lot of my stuff was like that too, but I wouldn't mind having some good stuff in there. You know, just a couple of things in there. Like, I got a Ruger PC carbine in there. I think that's kind of cool. And I think a WSMCR would be cool as well. Just so you can see, like, oh, yeah, I've played some video games, but this is not like those, right?
You know, I don't even remember what semi-auto I was taught on for PAL.
It's KS. So many of them.
No.
A lot of people use that Remington, automatic 740 or...
I think that's what I had.
Worst. It's absolutely the worst. No one uses them. They're crap. There's a reason why, like, yeah.
I think Dave mentioned that one is the one drawn on the book. So a lot of people go with that because, you know, I don't know, maybe Remington sponsors them or something. There's an A70 on there. There's that. Yeah, I really don't remember. I really don't remember what semi-auto I was taught on. I don't think I got tested on a semi-auto either. I was tested on a pump and a bolt, I think.
I usually test on the bolt and the pump as well, because those are the common ones that most people want to ask them at the start of the class. They say they're there for hunting. So they're okay. You got to learn how to use the bolt action then. And pump is probably like something you'll have
to. Are you going to try to trick them by giving them one with a bolt lockout safety? Your position?
All the bolts that I run in my course have, the safety locks the bolt closed. You turn safety back off to do anything. That's not the worst you can do. I also, a lot of the time in the same kit, I have a 303 British and a 303 Savage.
That's a little mean. That's a little mean.
No one's made a mistake yet. I've taught.
Oh, there you go. Students. There you go.
None of them have made the mistake. Some of them have gotten it wrong on the written test. No one's actually gotten it wrong yet in class.
That's good.
Nice.
Yeah. Good. But that's not the meanest thing. I think the meanest thing.
I think someone mentioned it says 9mm on a slide and then 40 on a barrel or something. Like a.
Oh, that is a. That's
you said. You know what?
That's not mean. I think I'm okay with that, because you teach them to identify, you know, what ammo goes into what gun, and that's I'm okay with that.
Well, okay, here's one for you for if we're doing labeling. I have an STI that's chambered in 400 Corbon. Mm-hmm. The barrel is 40 Smith & Wesson Hybrid.
Okay, well, that's just all right. That's just like you're actually getting into like a level of autistic detail that most gun owners never
give them an Atlas 2011 that says 9mm major on it.
But like my Jericho, like this one, this is the old one, the one that comes with the two barrels. Like, that is a fun thing to test when I like do my little like pre-pal course with friends and stuff. I'll throw the 41 Action Express barrel in there, because I've got some dummies for it as well. And I'm like, all right, you know, because there'll be a couple of handguns on the table. All right, identify which ammo goes with this gun, because it says, like, you know, it says 41 AE on the little port there, and it's just an extra little thing when they've been used to 9mm, 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 45, 357, 9mm. Like, oh, this one, it's 41 Action Express.
Give them a 9x25 Dillon. It's like the only brass you're going to fit in there is 10mm, because that's how it's designed.
Give them a 300 blackout and then give them resized
223 brass. This 223 doesn't fit in this 223 gun.
No, it will.
Well, wow.
Yeah. unless you load it long or load, like some of the factories load it so that their 300 blackout won't fit in a 223.
The original spec was that it's not supposed to fit, but I'm pretty sure hand loaders have broken it anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's a good way of blowing up your AR too. A fantastic way of blowing up your AR. Anyways, going hunting.
Cool. All right. Kyle. I didn't do much. I last weekend took the Jeep out, took family out. We went with an overland group here just for a quick overnight trip. And yeah, so it was quick trip, but it took like 5.5 hours to get to the meeting area. So yeah, we woke up early Saturday morning, drove out there. It was pretty cool. Got to some higher elevation, cooled down overnight. So testing our sleep system on the rooftop tent and whatnot. I was comfortable, even though with kid and wife in the tent, I don't get blankets. So I was still comfortable in there. And it's not a four season tent at all. It's pretty thin, but it's surprising how much heat it retains.
How cold does it get?
Well, this morning it was 34. So it was like it was about like 3 degrees this morning.
That's pretty good. Calgary is about that right now, so
it's cold down right now.
Night. We go into the negatives. It just like it snowed like on Monday. Yeah. It's kind of all gone.
We got driving back on Sunday, we actually got like some like micro sleet coming through Cloudcroft, and really like the first snow I've seen in a year and a half. So,
but it's like that. Even Arizona, they have enough altitude where snow.
Oh yeah, you get up to Flagstaff. Like, I mean, they got ski hills up in Flagstaff. There's a ski hill up Cloudcroft too. Like, it's getting to the time. In fact, I think overnight they got a good dump of snow. Like, we missed the snow even where we were camping. Got a good dump of snow the night after we had left. So Sunday night. But I will bring guns into the trip because we were around the fire and a few of us were carrying guns. Buddy brought out this Derringer type gun. It was a 4-barrel 38 special.
Oh, I saw there was an English quad, like right. A pepper box. Not a pepper box, but like a quad barrel thing. It was in Battlefield 1 or something. Yeah, there's a few things like that. Yeah.
But it was sized just like a little Derringer. It was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it was a fun trip. And part of that, like I said, testing out stuff for cold weather. I think I'm going to invest into a diesel heater if we're going to be starting to go out and finding some snow in that. But won't have one in time. I am hunting this weekend also.
You can get those things on Amazon.
That's what I'm doing. I'm buying like $100 cheap Chinese knockoff.
They're fine though. They're good.
I've watched a bunch of reviews on them and yeah, compared to like a Pulsar, it's like $1,400 US for a suitcase diesel heater. And it's like, you can literally go spend $125 and buy, you know, 12 of them. For the same price as that one. So.
Is it probably made in the USA though?
Actually, Pulsar is Canadian.
Oh, probably made in Canada then. You got to support
that. There's Webasto that's German as well, but like they're same thing, like $1,200. Yeah.
They're better parts. Like they're the Chinese ones, you're going to deal with some stuff, but they even have them where you have apps on your phone that you can control them with.
Yes, they don't have an exhaust, do they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you don't put the heater in your tent. You leave that down, get a shelf off your tire or whatever, and then you run just a dryer line up into your tent or whatever you want to heat. So it's got an exhaust, but your fan is isolated from your burner. It's almost like a hot water tank where it heats the water.
Interesting.
Okay, but it heats the air and blows the hot air out, so you don't get it's not like a propane heater where you get the fumes of your fuel off with your heated air.
So it's totally
clean air.
It's like a home furnace where the heat exchanger, the dirty air is always dirty, the clean air.
Yeah, or like an oil furnace like Dustin's deals with a lot out on the West Coast there. I know that because I had one when I lived in Victoria.
Thankfully not in this house.
But so you were saying, Adriel, you got a ticket for me or something? You're trying to say something there. We were talking.
I forgot what it was. I mean, you can get apps for them. The remote's good enough though. For in the tent, there's like a little clicker remote. You're going to leave it on minimum, because they put out a ton of heat, like way more than what you need.
Well, I only want it to just take the edge off. If it's like 55, 60 in the tent, great.
The other thing you want it for is drying stuff out. So you get like wet socks from hiking and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or boots. You put them in front of the heater and it'll cook them. It'll just
roast. Oh, yeah. Just turn that on max for
5 minutes, 10
minutes. Yeah. I'm probably getting one of those in short order. So going hunting, I'm not taking off the full 4 days. It's for a deer. It's not worth it for me to go without those wages for a deer. So I will go out Saturday, Sunday. And of course we got a shutdown starting next week. So I've offered to come into work on Monday for some overtime, but part of me is like, oh, I could still get my 8 hours and stay out hunting. I'll probably go to work because I'll go work Monday through Saturday, do the shutdown, get some good overtime in on that. We'll see. It might be 2, might be 3 days. We'll see after the weekend on how that goes. And I got looking, because normally I take my 25-06 out. That is my hunting gun until I actually get a chassis for the 280 AI barrel. But as long as it's center fire and over 22 cal, it's good for big game here. So I'm thinking, because I can, I think I'm going to bring my AR out.
You're going to bring out your
collision. Yes.
Just rub it in, why don't you?
Son of a bitch.
use AR-10.
Well, because I haven't finished building the AR-10, and I'm not that big of a fan of... I'm not as big of a 308 fan as you are, Tony.
Can you hunt with a pistol?
It just says center fire ammunition over 22 cal, so I could even take my STI out and hunt
Can you build a 4-inch 308?
Pistol. No, because... Oh, pistol.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want a 4-inch 308.
No, you gotta go
I want, like, 2570. Like, let's I have the ridiculous build. I'm all for doing ridiculous, but like 7-inch.
No. Gotta go shorter than that. 450 SOCOM, Bushmaster, that works too. Beowulf. Lots of options. You got all the options.
Oh yeah, lots of options. I was thinking of getting that 308 built for this, but I just haven't gotten around to it and got thinking, I wonder what the caliber restrictions are. And yeah, it's basically
done. That's the thing I have against Alberta. It's like, why can I not hunt with a 223?
Massive.
Well, yeah, even elk, unless you're like super close range,
I'm not going to do
shot placement. Like, it will do the job, but you have to have damn good shot placement for that to do the job.
Alberta is like 224 or up center fire, so 9mm is legal. Like, okay, like
next year. Yeah.
I do hear. I wish we could hunt just in Alberta with 223, right? Like especially deer. That is awesome deer cartridge. Like you don't.
I'd bring my TR out for that.
Yeah,
so for close
I
in
have my mags. I have my 20 rounds. In case there's, I don't know, four deers present themselves in front of me at the same time.
Semi-auto, don't do that.
Well, semi-auto, you only have a mag cap of 5 rounds. I have 20 rounds. So
unless you're using something that takes a stand egg and you have your pistol mags out there, then just don't bring them out.
Yeah, but I can. Pump action works.
Pump action. Yeah, manual action, you're good.
We don't have any.
It's going to be a different... Sorry, what you...
No. You go for it.
So it's going to be a different style of hunt for me as well, because people remember I usually thick bush, go for a walk, maybe come out to a cut and sit. Down where I'm going, there's like nothing for trees. I found a little... I'll call it a mountain range. And I'm going to probably go out in that area. So it'll be more like an overland style hunt, especially with considering camp is attached to my vehicle. So
you're blind,
and it'll be basically spot and stalk. I'll get up on a ridge and just start glassing for miles and try and get into a position where I can see up multiple valleys. When I'll try to remember to take some pictures while I'm out there. It just on topo, now it looks like it's a pretty cool area looking topo and satellite, but like I said, like practically no trees, like little shrubs maybe, but so should be a cool area. And yes, well, I should have some stuff from that. And that's it for me. That's more about what I'm going to do than what I actually did.
We can cover what Jamie did for guns this week. And he asked about the red dots last week. And he, in the end, when was the Romeo 5? The application was Ontario hunting within like what? Range 50 meters or so. And he has a MRA Renegade in 300 Blackout.
Sweet. Nice. Good choice.
Nice. Yeah, for sure.
I like my NATO cartridges, though.
Oh, I can't wait to get an AR in 300 Blackout and put a cannon on it. 2 years, man. That's happening. I've got it on the vision board. That's coming. And then Tony, you're gonna come out here. We'll go hunt deer with ARs because you can shoot a deer with a 223 out here. And we'll use full capacity mags because we'll have that too. I'm putting the good energy out there. Yeah. Don't you shake your head at me, Adriel. You know it's
next thing you know, we'll be hunting deers with full auto or something. You wish.
Oh, if only.
Yeah.
Round your corner. The
island deer call would have been much easier. Everyone,
that right? Got me wanting right. to go hog hunting.
I know. Oh, I'm so. Oh my gosh!
Do they taste good?
Yeah, but it's not like you. It's not like your store bought pig. They're not going to be as fatty. It's,
of course, but I don't know.
But from what I've heard, yeah, they taste good. But a lot of people down here just don't eat them. They're varmint. They go out, rent a helicopter with a full auto, and go walk in on a deer. Or not a deer, sorry, a hog.
We should all do that. We should all make a trip down. We could write it off as a business expense. Yeah, it's a, you know, this is yeah, it's for job purposes. We have to go hunt hogs with a machine gun from a helicopter.
Understand the southern gun culture better and
help to better show. Help us with our gun show. Yeah. We have to go do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's go into upcoming events besides the helicopter hog hunt. And Multigun is pretty much done for the year. There might be the odd one that pops up here or there. I think I saw some murmurings about possibly something in Peace River. Mm-hmm. Maple Seeds, Adriel, anything going on?
Yeah, there? 16th, 17th, they're doing GBHA Midland and Huronia Penetanguishene. Those are all sold out, but... put your name on the wait list. There's always someone who drops out and we're like trying to desperately get someone and then like no one says yes. So put your name on the wait list for those.
Cool. BTSA, Tony, you got, looks like you, why don't you just read off these two things you got here, the BTSA and IPSC Canada.
So IPSC Canada is about the PCC match. So very likely we're going to have it in April, early season, because the World Shoot happens later in the year, but Taylor will host a PCC Provincials in Alberta at the BTSA. Hopefully, if it's there, you'll see me there. I think Nationals is going to be in Brooks, Alberta next 2025.
I thought it was Tabor.
Oh, I don't know either. South of Calgary. How about that? Close to Calgary-ish. IPSC range, so that'll be interesting. Man, do I have to borrow a pistol to shoot that?
Well, you got some time. Got some time.
I shoot it with a revolver. So I can win.
Well, you got the moon clips and everything. Get practicing those Michelic loads.
Oh, God. It's the funny thing because I keep mentioning, I'm getting sidetracked, but I keep mentioning Adam Maxwell, 3-Gun AMAX on YouTube. So he mentioned that like the Michelic grip, pretty much only Jerry likes it just because it's very slippery. And like most of the factory guns from Simpson Wesson, you will see like an overmolded hog or these kind of type of rubber grip, and it's very hard to let go of it.
Yeah.
I think that's more suited for your right hands on a gun when you're doing reload. But for Jerry, his like holding a gun with his left hand, dropping the moon clip in with his right hand, kind of like. So instead of you're holding on to the gun, you're putting it in like so. So that's an interesting thing. I don't think I can get that good with revolvers that quickly, but we'll see. BTSA Steel Challenge. This will be the match for me to get Club 13. We'll see. Apparently, you'll get a medal for it too, and the shirt. So. Maybe that'll be the first sporting achievement I ever get in my life. That'll be interesting.
What's the medal? Is like you suck at everything equally, or
I don't believe there is a I don't believe there is a platinum Club 13. So you get a platinum plaque for every division you've ranked GM in. I don't believe that's a thing yet. Hmm. So yeah, just the participation reward.
You will find your spot yet?
Maybe I'll become the... I don't know if this is true or not. Maybe there are some kids who did Club 13 already, but I might become the first Club 13 member that doesn't own a handgun, like, ever. So that'll be...
Yeah, you've got to be.
Maybe, Tony, maybe not, because kids, maybe they borrow their guns too.
Tony, here's a tip from a prop master. You can just go get, like trophies and plaques made. So, like, you know, if nobody's going to keep you an award for this, like, you can go get one made for yourself.
You can.
Well, if no one else will recognize you for your achievements, you can recognize yourself.
It'd go really good. Just in the corner there, it'd be like you get something, you know, about that size, just off to you, the one side. It'd be great.
That's extra pretentious. I don't think I can go that far. But you actually get your name listed on a USPSA site just because you're a part of it. But just saying.
Cool.
Cool.
All right. Mentioning that there's an NRL 22 match at BTSA this Saturday.
Apparently, but I don't see it on practice score. I know it, like, it depends on what kind of a match it is. It could be under the BTSA banner, or it could be if it's an IPSC match at BTSA, for example, it's usually under the IPSC banner. Yeah. So I'm guessing it's probably under the NR22 banner this weekend.
Okay. Cool. You got any Battle Course coming up there, Adriel?
Yeah, you know, just to make it easy, I'll just share it on screen here because I put the work in, and damn it, I'm going to show it off. There's the tickets. November 16th, 17th will be in Devon. November 23rd and 24th will be at Sherwood Park. 7th and 8th in Devon, and then 15th in Sherwood Park. That'll be a restricted special request course.
Ooh.
Nice.
Someone was like, you know what? I needed our pal on this date. I'm like, I don't make that happen.
I'm surprised you didn't say, we need to charge you extra because it's a customized course. But it's how capitalism works.
It's public. It's available to anyone.
Come on, people. If it was a private course, then yes, it would be.
Folks need to sign up to this course. I love taking a hunting gear guy pal course. I try to take one every year.
I asked for it the longest time, and he wouldn't do it. Adriel said, I'm going to do pal only. So I had to take the course with Dave, the friend of the channel, Dave, from Foothills Firearm. So, yeah.
It was closer.
Slightly.
Yeah, anyways, that's coming up.
Cool. We'll get on to the news. Only thing I saw was what I pretty much spent yesterday and today following. I had my tablet and my truck at work and everything. And it was a U.S. election, and Trump won.
Yep.
And very, it's close. Might take all three. So yeah. Republicans might get the House. That's what we're waiting on right now. They took the Senate back. And we'll see if they can hold. They did have the House majority, and we'll see if they can hold on to that. But it was a landslide.
It looked close to start, but
it was close, except for in the swing states, it went like 1% to Trump, but it did that in pretty much all of them, which ended up in a landslide. We're still waiting for numbers from Arizona, Nevada, and Alaska for some reason. Alaska isn't done counting, but they haven't reported any numbers. And Nevada and Arizona were supposed swing states. He's taken 5 of the 7 so far. So it's looking like he could end up taking all the swing states. Mm-hmm. So he could have it basically looking like, I think it was like 315 electoral votes to Kamala's 200 and some. I can't remember where she's at. But.
So for Canadians, this means cheap ammo because there won't be a rush on ammo. And there are all these people we're producing. So I think ammo prices are going to come down for us.
Oh, yeah. Gun machines go brr. It's going to be great.
I hope it does reflect to Canada because one of the big things out of this one with the gains that Trump made is that economy, immigration, and then this, they're drawing parallels that people are done with the woke stuff.
Yep.
So hopefully that translates, and Canada is also getting tired. Yeah, Alaska's male moose got shot. Yeah.
Didn't make it through hunting season.
Yeah. So that's kind of I'm hoping for, because it kind of moves a bit, kind of follows each other kind of thing, I think. But
our polling was already showing that Trudeau was heading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The anti-incumbency, you know, narrative, I think, is just, it's all around. Everybody's tired of, if you're in charge and things aren't going well, get out. And I think that everybody's feeling that. So Let's just hope it holds for the next year. But
yeah, I think people are getting tired of being told, "Hey, you're a piece of crap," unless you believe this.
I just had a conversation about that, and I think if nothing else, you know, with them, if they do sweep the whole government and they just have power to do whatever for 4 years, and that, you know, that the woke things, I mean, I'm getting tired of just saying the thing, but I think it will encourage people to have discussions again, because the side that has had power has been wielding that little hammer to beat you over the head with every time that you weren't woke. Yeah. That's gone. And that the progressive side is going to have to begin having discussions again and talking and communicating needs and or opinions rather than you're bad and go away.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be better for, you know, discourse all around in the long run.
If it works out that way, absolutely. Hopefully they don't just try and spend another 4 years trying to demonize them and just actually, hey, okay, cool, let's work together and get stuff done.
He does that on his own.
He does enough of, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's not a saint. I'm not saying he's a saint in the least, but yeah. Anyways, no. Enough of U.S. politics on a Canadian podcast.
Yeah, you are in the U.S.
I am, but you guys aren't, and most of our 99% of our listeners / viewers are not. So
let's focus on Hefe. Well, no,
that's not.
I did that wrong. Okay.
We're gonna take the controls away from you.
look at that rifle. Look at the magazine. Yeah.
I mean, I have.
I'm not salty. No.
I have those bags downstairs, but
look at this. I'm not talking about that either. No.
Should we zoom back in on Tony for a second?
Yeah. A lot of people have those bags. Though. They have a chunk of metal that can't leave it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
But let's get on to new gun stuff. And new gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR. They have a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter. They got free shipping over $250, which does include ammunition. And they also have $17 flat rate shipping for orders below $250. Some conditions apply. And remember to subscribe to their newsletter to get their latest deals.
So we Henry Homesteader. Last week, this the now restricted Henry Homesteaders are coming into the country, and Bullseye is one of the first to get them. So if you're waiting for a Henry Homesteader, here is that. Takes Glock mags, 10 rounds at least. Not the magical 30+30 round magazines, but, you know, better than five. We take what we get.
I have no use for this because I have lots of 9mm PCCs, but I still want this.
It looks cool.
Kind of cool.
It looks like a traditional hunting rifle.
Yes.
Yeah, the PCC.
Yes. I kind of want this for the future of, like, again, taking those folks shooting who may not feel super comfortable with, like, your standard black rifle, which is a lot of what, like, a lot of us have. You know, there's something, like, I don't know, slightly more approachable about a gun that's got wood on it for the layman or for the somebody who's like a little less, you know, comfortable, you know, that doesn't scream machine gun to anyone.
Yeah.
You know, I take a lot of people out to the range, and I don't know if it's because I bully them into it, but pretty much all of them shoot the black rifles. I've had some people be like, I want to shoot the Mosin because I play this game and the Mosin's like awesome. They shoot it and like, ow, I don't like that one. And then they shoot the SKS and like, that one's better.
It's called progression.
See, I find for myself, I tend to take a lot of progressive female and or female identifying folks and slighter folks, you know, smaller folks, mm-hmm. all of those people, hands down, it's always the same. The black rifles or anything military looking is intimidating, often too intimidating for them to even handle, mm-hmm. let alone shoot. Right. And something like that kind of, I think, maybe fills a void. And it's kind of fun looking.
It's if you wanted to have a rifle on the farm and have it match everything else, but shoot something cheap and fun, yeah, it'd be a great idea. And someone pointed out the factory mags, they brought in factory mags for these things that are five rounds, like natively five rounds. They're tiny little short guys.
Yeah.
Because for C21, if you wanted to get FRT for a new rifle, it has to be designed for five.
I believe this one was designed way long ago, though.
But for the FRT, they submitted it with a five-round mag. They're like, it's designed for these.
Oh, we missed a bit of news.
Oh.
Yeah, with Marstar.
Oh, what happened with Marstar?
Someone posted it on our chat the other day. They submitted the, I think, Adriel.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Marstar submitted the crypto for FRT.
You guys know. Not unsubstantiated. Unsubstantiated. Yeah. Just someone in Reddit said that talked to Marstar, and that's what they did. Marstar submitted the crypto for FRT.
So Marstar was not willing to take the chance on it.
Interesting.
We'll see. We'll see how it comes out, right? It'll be a few weeks.
No, hopefully not a few months. Tony, you know what they're going to do.
They're going to prohibit it.
They're going to prohibit it.
Like immediately.
There's no question about it. No question.
Yeah.
What if the Firearm Labs owed Marso a favor?
Have you watched any video from the RCMP Firearms Lab? The folks that work there? Because there's documentaries, there's footage on YouTube. The people that work there do not like guns. Or us.
Interesting. Okay.
Like, this, legitimately.
This will not go, this will not go the way you want it to.
No. No, that gun's going to get banned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, anywho.
Back to new gun stuff.
Next one, Churchill
520.
This is the better iteration of the of Adriel's favorite and also Runko's favorite, the SS211. That's how I found Runko. No, that's how I found Adriel, actually.
That
review.
Look at that.
Oh my god! I did not notice that machine.
That is bad.
It's lovely. I love it.
You know what? I've got worse. You guys keep talking amongst yourself. I'll be back with worse.
I want one.
Yeah. Boomstick.
You know this is just a longer one that they cut there.
Absolutely. You could tell.
Buttstock on and cut there.
Well, you can see the tool marks on the front of the barrels there.
Yeah. They put it on the bandsaw.
Yeah, exactly. Did a little deburr tool, and there you go.
How does officer tell that this is a factory finish or your finish? Because it looks like this.
Imagine 50 years in the future, the website's long gone. They're like, I don't think that's factory. And you're like, but it is. I don't believe you. Look at the end of this thing. Like you did this with a hacksaw.
They had a surplus of side-by-sides that weren't getting orders from. So they're like, hey, you know what? You can chop this off, re-drill that front sight post, and there we go. Yeah.
I just think the side-by-side.
Is this seriously more than their side-by-side?
I don't know, probably.
No, I think it's less. But just thinking the side-by-side idea is more practical than the whole over-under thing.
Why do you think that?
So much force to break it open.
That's all. It's just getting it.
It's the same.
It's getting it broken.
Hang on.
There you go.
Oh, here, let me turn on a light. Give me a second. It's not good. This was a $300 Chinese gun, though.
This is a $600 Turkish gun.
Turkish gun.
So similar.
Part of NATO. Support NATO. Yes.
I think you'll find, Tony, with the side by side, you're gonna get kicked in the face more.
Especially on that right hand barrel.
I don't like how much vision you lose because you lose like a bunch that's lower.
Yeah,
which is fair. But what are you going to do with us? Dumpster defend, yes.
Now, you know what would make that better? If it was one of the ones with the double trigger so you can do both barrels at one time.
Oh my God. One-handed.
Yes. Yes, there you exactly. Go.
It is fun to go do two blasts at the same time. And
get a shotgun. Fire two blasts. I don't know how the whole quote goes.
Blows lungs out his body. Anywho, they deleted the stupid video.
Yeah, I checked that. I don't know. Well, so I think it makes sense, though.
Brian Litz, they've been putting videos on Reddit. One of the more recent ones was super slow-mo video of the barrel as it's firing. And the barrel it starts moving before the bullet exits.
Oh, that
makes sense. There's motion in the gun before the bullet gets out.
Hmm.
So your follow through is super important, and your consistency in everything else is super important. You need consistent like cheek weld and pressure on your shoulder and all that other kind of stuff, because that may affect what's happening. Now, they found that the barrel like pushed straight back with all of the ones that they're using, but maybe with some other gun designs, that wouldn't be what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. Never really thought of it, but yeah. Cool.
We've got two new semi-auto FRTs that have been approved. One for the SBR9 and one for the R18 Mark III. So the R18 Mark III, that's that, not Spectre.
Sterling.
Sterling.
Yep. Yeah, and that's the Turkish one. That's very, very different. So they need a different number. But the ATF SBR9 is the Iron Gun's Glock with a stock.
Wait, it's a Glock. I haven't seen that. Is there pictures? So
SBR9 Iron.
Probably on Gunnuts, but here we go. I don't know what you're gonna do with this thing.
What, Tony? You don't have a pistol.
You don't have a pistol. You can have that.
What about this one?
What am I gonna do with that? Can I
shoot PCC?
Yeah, you can, because you can.
You shake your head.
Yeah.
Did you see the Mitchell X at PCC Nationals? They shot something similar to this at PCC Nationals.
I'm not that good.
I kind of want that now. Also, so Tony, you can take the stock off of that, and you could probably build it into a pistol thing. Maybe.
And I'm going to shoot open division with it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll be hilarious.
That'd be one heck of a holster. I'd love to see that.
I'm visualizing the leg holster now that
thing
I want.
The thing is, you could make a holster for that.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Holy yes. God. That's exactly where my head is going. This is a cyberpunk gun waiting to happen. I need that. How much is it?
$800 US?
Not, I didn't need that information. I've been looking for an art project for a minute. Oh, my heart's going pitter patter.
I run guns.
Oh, no. You guys are the worst.
You came on to a gun podcast.
We're bad for that. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay, next one. No FRT for it, but. Come on, load you. Oh, there it goes. The Zenith Arms. Zenith? I don't know. ZF-56. It's a roller delayed firearm. So therefore, they don't need the recoil spring and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, in a rifle round.
I like the 3. Oh, yes.
Is there no 9mm option?
Yes, look. 5.56, 9mm, 10mm, 300 blackout, and 7.62x39, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I would like to go to there.
I'll take AR mags in 9mm.
No, they'll have it probably in Glock
or
Colt.
I was watching just a little clip, and someone had like the full size mags that are shooting PCC. And it was like some special 9mm. AR sized mag.
Oh, that's there's a conversion kit for it. It's a thing. You can convert a PMAG to take 9mm in it. I forgot what's called.
That upper really just kind of has like
HK curviness.
I like that. I will take. I'll take one.
I hate it because it looks like an AR, but it's not.
I mean,
yeah.
So wait, so is that coming to Canada?
Probably not.
Well, who knows? What's the lineage of this thing? It's not an AR.
No.
Definitely not an AR.
I'm just...
But it's... Mm-hmm. When is it designed? Oh, God, the whole argument.
I'm thinking about our simplified classification system 2 years down the road and get one that's
I will have myself if that happens. I promise the viewers I'm gonna have myself a CMMG. There's no doubt about
it. I dig that.
All right. Do you want me to get me to spend
you
some money?
Suck.
I remember it was $69.99 Canadian last year though.
No, Iron Guns is US.
I know, but last year I think it's as cheap as that.
You know,
yeah. It was definitely sub 100.
So Iron Guns has the Ruger BX triggers. These are for the 10/22s. That's like a sub 3 pound trigger instead of whatever your factory one is. It's substantially better. $69 US. I bought 4 last
year. Yeah.
These on sale. Yeah.
That's.
Well, for every single Maple Seed gun you had.
Nope, not the Maple Seed guns. You guys get factory triggers for my guns. Is this running a BX trigger? Let's find out. Maybe I got to get another one.
It should have a red shoe on it. You should be able to tell.
No, that one's 2.6. That's a BX trigger.
Nice.
No, I got ones with black shoes, not red shoes.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep. They didn't have the red ones, otherwise I would have.
I'd hate. Anywho,
there's that.
I hate rimfire guns.
I'm not gonna be able to come on here anymore. It's like Tyler's gonna make. That? I said I'm not gonna be allowed to come on the show anymore. Tyler's gonna be.
It's bad for your budget. That's what this show.
Yeah.
Is.
Yeah.
Someone put this in G4 seats.
I did. G4C is moving, and they have a contest for. If you reply, you'll be in the context for a Type 81 underfolder, so might as well. I don't know if they're going to have a moving cell. It doesn't look like it, but...
Reserved for winner... Oh, winner announcement.
Winner announcement, winter. So...
Mm. Okay. Cool. I only just started looking at these because I didn't know that they were alive yet. Are there any good deals in here, Tony?
Have you
gone through?
Well, I think it's just kind of weird ammo. If you need 303 British, 380 Auto, 450 Bushmaster. I don't know if the RWS is a good deal. Not too sure. The price on the rifle primers from Campro Ginex is decent, $84.99. Their regular price is usually $89.99. $5, a little bit count.
This Aguila price is good. Aguila 22 Aguila is standard, $0.075 per round, but you got to buy 2,000 of them.
And the 9mm PMC ammo price is good.
Ooh, yeah. Well, so they got the percussion caps there for you, Adriel.
I got a bunch, but I wonder what 30% is off is for them. CCI 309. That looks like model 10 in the picture. Yeah, that's what I kind of need. I wonder what that costs.
Unfortunately, you can't really click on it.
Yeah, neither. On the website, they have a promotion, and it's just the image as well. You can't click on it. It's $14. That's not so bad.
Hmm.
I got them for $5, but, you know, this isn't that bad today.
Back in my day, powder was like $5 a bottle.
Tony, I bought these primers a year ago. I found a small store that had them, and they're like, yeah, no one ever buys these. I'm like, I'll take them all.
Where is this store at? What do you got? Like middle of nowhere, Alberta.
Yeah. Okay. How many do you want to get? Give me all you got.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, those CCI small pistol primers are pretty good, too. Campro, cheaper, therefore better. That's a damn good price for buck. $189 for a case of 250.
$300, $1,000 for PMC Bronze 9mm.
Yeah, that's solid, right?
Pretty good, yeah.
$5 per sal. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Probably split a case with a buddy and make that.
Oh, Mauser M18. I had a buddy of mine talking about these. $649 for a Mauser M18 rifle.
Made in Zavani.
Yep. The Germans. 22 Hornet. Anything else? It's good. Oh, the 303 that they had was really cheap. If any of you are looking for, it's 303 soft point too. And I think it was... Yeah, it was $27, I think, per box, something like that, which is very good. I don't know, 40% off some knives and that kind of thing.
But that is a good point that start looking out for Black Friday sales and pre-Black Friday sales. I know I've been getting emails from We the People holsters. They're running pre-stuff, and you know, I think Vitcoast is running a bunch of stuff. And so yeah, there's some pre-Black Friday sales coming out. And yeah, Black Friday is only a couple weeks away. So yeah, get looking out for that stuff and get your pocketbooks ready.
God, I was just starting.
Swap the card. Question it later.
No, maybe.
Anyways, let's. Or do you have anything else there, Angel?
No, I wanted to pull up the checklist and start building it out with you.
Okay,
guys.
Well, let's get into the main topic, and Adriel has chosen that for us and wants to revisit the hunting checklist, which is, I think, a very good idea.
So we have this spreadsheet. Yeah, we shared this spreadsheet with some of our Patreonies a couple of years ago. It's got like checklists for IPSC and that kind of thing. I think most people, like most of us, just did the checklist for IPSC. We didn't do all the other things like three gun, range day, matrices, that kind of thing. But I want to talk about the hunting one and kind of do a revision to that. And I'm going to document as you guys talk through what's in your list. I'll start with mine. Just so we have like a place to start. So you guys know me, I pack light. I don't take a backpack or anything like that, but that's primarily because I'm either hunting from a cabin or a camper or a tent or something like that. And I prefer to leave most of my stuff there and then just take a smaller pack with me. And what I use is my bino harness. So my bino harness has a binos in it. Yeah. That's the important part. I take binos because, if you need to glass anything far, I don't think you would need it. If you're hunting short range, I don't think you need binos. I don't think, like, I couldn't imagine why you'd need them.
Even maybe like a hunter's clearing, like just a small clearing, they've come in handy. They've been nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I like them for that kind of thing. Sometimes you're looking at something, you're like, is that a grouse? And you don't aim your gun at it. Pull your binos out. Yeah.
Or that stump you've been looking at for the last half hour and you need to confirm that it is in fact not a deer, even though you could swear you could see stump. It moving and
yeah, as it gets to dusk there, everything starts moving. You're like, it's moving. You look through the binos. It's like, I don't even know what I'm looking at. It's not a stump. It's not anything. It's just a shadow.
Even just to like, you know, reconfirm, because like, you know, out here in the, like in BC, you're shooting a lot of relatively close range, but I love having a little pair of binos just to like, double check that there's nothing behind the thing I'm planning on shooting at. Like there's been a couple of times where I'm like, deer, okay. Yeah. There's dead. It's clear behind him. I can shoot that thing, you know? So
yeah. Cool. Inside my bino harness, I have my license and tags. I have a folding knife, like just a cheap crappy one with a plastic handle on it. The whole idea there is I can stab the hole in the leg so you can put the tag around the tendon and that kind of thing. So it's not for skinning or anything like that. It's just literally the cheapest, lightest knife I can possibly get that'll do that kind of thing. I end up using it for other stuff too, but whatever. Deer grunt call, maybe a deer grunt call, I don't know. And then maybe a rangefinder. And my rangefinder is a Sig Kilo 2200 because it ranges anything as far as I can see. It'll range. So
I'm surprised that kind of for stuff. You, binos are mandatory, but rangefinder isn't.
So the rangefinder is if I'm looking at a really long cut line, a really long cut line. I need something at 500 or more because I can range just by looking out to 400 or 500 fairly accurately these days. But beyond that, I can't. So is that 500 or 600? 500, I can make contact. 600? I could, but I need a steady rest and I'm going to need to pull out my, you know, ballistic calculator and that kind of thing. So yeah, I'll just use that. I have my Sig Kilo 2200, set up with the ballistic profile of 6.5 Creedmoor as well. So it'll tell me the holdover in MOA, which I can refer into.
That's pretty cool.
The scope, or I can dial it, if I need to. And I've confirmed it, at the range as well. So that's only if I'm going to do a long bomb, and I don't like you shouldn't set up yourself for a long bomb. Usually if you set yourself up for a long bomb, you're just going to watch a bunch of deer that you can't shoot. They'll be out at like 700, 800. You're like, well, I can watch that deer, but I can't shoot it. So I prefer to be a little bit closer in. yeah, optional. I'll have it this weekend though, because there's a couple spots where I can take that long bomb on me, rifle and mag. I used to carry spare rounds. I don't anymore. I carry the four that are in the mag, and I don't even top it up. I just carry those four. If I can't get it done with those four, I've got a wounded deer. I've got the folding knife, and I'll finish it off with that. And I have done that. That's fine. Base layers, top and bottom. I like layering up. So base layers, something that'll be moisture wicking, like a polyester or something or other to get the moisture away. Ski pants if it's cold, gaiters otherwise. I am new to gaiters. I used to just like not wear them, but I get too many times I get snow in my boots, and those get your feet wet and cold. So yeah, not doing that anymore. A heated camo jacket. I typically don't use the heating unless it's like minus 20, but it's nice to have the option. And it's just a good comfortable jacket.
But you do care about the camo part?
No, not at all.
Oh, that's just what
it is. It's just a jacket to me. I Tony, most of the time I hunt in, like a lot of the time I don't bring any of this stuff. I just wear that orange or that blaze red sleeping bag thing. And I kill deer with that all the time. So no, I'm not a stickler for camo. Blaze orange toque or balaclava. Balaclava is what I like to wear because if it gets cold or windy or that kind of thing, like, oh, that can really bite the face. So those are nice. Muck boots. They're bad for sweat because they are neoprene, and neoprene's waterproof and it holds the water in. So I've got a size too big, and I wear like nice puffy socks, and it lets a little bit of air move in there so that it can hopefully get some of the sweat out. Depends on what pants and all that kind of stuff you're wearing. You want that airflow though, because I won't get cold from cold. I'll get cold from like my feet getting wet and that wetness. Like,
well, I think that's a
freeze them.
Good note to make. Like when you're buying your winter boots, you want that airspace in there. If you buy them tight, like your standard hiking boot or whatever, your feet are going to freeze. You need that airspace for the sweat. I would recommend good wool socks because they will still keep you warm when you get wet, especially if you have that air gap in your boot.
Specifically, if you want to add just a specific brand, Adriel, Darn Tough wool socks are bulletproof, and I swear by them. I've suffered in some horrible wet, cold conditions, and that has been the only saving grace, keeping my feet warm, dry, and happy. So, and they last forever.
I'll add it to your list.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's my column here.
That's fine.
I wear like merino socks, just something that's wool or merino or something like that. Rattle maybe. Heating seat, maybe. Shooting sticks or bipod, maybe. It really depends on what my setup is and that kind of thing. If I'm going to do the, like, if I have no ground, if I have a ground blind, I'm going to go with a low seat and shooting sticks. Shooting sticks are just if I need that long range shot kind of a thing. But those really add to the distance. Those shooting sticks, 300, no problem. I'll drop them in on the heart every time from 300. 100, I don't really need them, so I won't take them. If I'm going to be sitting on the ground, also shooting sticks and a heat seat, and I'll back up to a tree. So I'll put that heat seat down with the tree at my back. I'll lean back, put the gun in front of me on the shooting sticks, and deer comes along. I just pull it up and I've got that nice accurate shot. And then the camp stuff, this isn't like hunting. This is more just like stuff that I'm gonna be bringing out, but a couple water jugs, always a lot of water. Cause if you shoot a deer and you shoot it in the guts, you're gonna have like poo and blood and all kinds of gore inside the body cavity. So having lots and lots of water to wash it out is nice. Wood, fire starters, booze, very important part of the hunting experience.
Booze is the most important part, yeah. Booze ranks higher than food. This is the central priority straight, okay?
Well, I'm going to find the food. I'll shoot the food. That part, you know, I can't make the booze out there. Not that quick, though.
Oh, that quick.
Camp shoes. So crucial here, and Tony, for your packing, make sure you bring two pairs of shoes, one like good hiking one, and then another one that you can wear around camp while those dry off. Because if you just have the one pair and you go to sleep and it's really cold and your boots freeze and you wake up the next morning and put them on and they're like, oh, they're frozen and wet inside. Even if you have dry socks, they're not going to last.
Yeah.
bunch of pairs of socks, some heater packs. I'm bringing these, not for me. These are for everyone else. And then hatchet. The hatchet's a double duty. It's for wood, and it's also for the deer, like the rib cage and the chest bone right here. Chop it up, and away she goes, right? So if I don't want to bring a saw or something like that, that's easier. I've
Here's
done that.
A question for you. Mm-hmm. You planned a three-day hunt. Uh-huh. Day one, deer's down. What do you do? Do you just head straight back home?
No,
depends on the temperature.
Booze.
Okay. Well, strictly, I should put coffee on here too. But Tony, it depends on the temperature. So this weekend, it's going to be around zero. We're going to gut that thing. We're going to get it all open, get it cool, wrap it in poly. And I don't know, leave it in a pickup truck, leave it in the back of a pickup truck until we leave. Or, I mean, if you shoot one, you're like, hey, peace out. Then, you know, I guess you can just peace out. What are you going to do with a deer, though?
Give it to you. You can deal with it.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks for the privilege. But no, but are you going to use the meat, or do you want to quarter it? What do you think?
I don't know yet.
Okay, we'll figure that out this weekend.
Yeah, see?
Some steaks, some roast, some ground.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, who's next? Who's going up on this list?
Kyle, because he okay.
All right, so we'll start off bino harness.
Bino harness.
And in that bino harness, I'm going to kind of try and follow your kind of structure there. I like that, but we'll see.
I know you're going to have a backpack too here, right?
I will have a backpack, yes. Mm-hmm. So bino harness, I will have my binos. They are the Leupold BX4 Tacticals, but they don't have the reticle in them. So
EX4?
Okay. Or BX, no, sorry, not BX4. They are the BXT-HD, and they're 10x42.
Seems 10x42 is kind of the most popular.
Don't go 12. It's 12.
Yeah, 12 for freehanding is you said you have steady hand from your videoing, so you might be able to do a 12, but you wouldn't be able to do a 15. Like 12 is like the ultimate max for freehand glassing. I like the 10 because it's just, it doesn't bounce around a lot.
I have a 12 and a 10. The 10's better. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind a 50, but the 50 does end up being quite big to be carrying around. So yeah, like the 10x42 is a really nice size. Rangefinder is once again Leupold, and it is the RX28 TBR.
We can see someone sponsored.
Not anymore.
Was sponsored.
Yeah. I've shot for Korth, and that's where Leupold sponsorship came through. Yep.
I have all Vortex stuff, though. I'm not a sponsor.
Yeah,
so
it was the RX 2800. Also in my bino harness, yes, licenses and tags. I don't keep a knife in my bino harness because that ends up being in my backpack. But I do keep deer calls. Yeah, or depending on what... this is what for this weekend. So because I'm going out. For deer, not elk or anything. So yeah, I will have like a grunt call in my bag.
No one brings a bleed call. Is there a reason?
Well, especially in November, your grunt call is going to get them running in. It's going to get your buck running right in there.
Yeah, Kelly's the bathing suit. Yeah, the whole resort setup and pew.
So I typically do carry a few extra rounds because it's super easy on my bino harness. So I have probably about 5 extra rounds of rifle ammo stuffed in that. I also do carry some wind checker. And that.
For our listeners, what's a wind checker?
Super fine powder that you just take a little, it's in a little squeeze bottle, almost like a glue bottle. Open the tap and you just give it a light squeeze and it just gives it a little super fine puff of dust, and because it is so light, it hangs in the air, and you, even with the slightest breeze, you can see where your breeze is going, or you can even use it to detect your thermals. So if you've got a thermal that's like you're on a ridge and your thermals are coming from top of ridge down to the valley, like they would be, you know, like early morning kind of thing, then that will, if you do it light enough, it can actually help detect your thermals and check your thermals on whether it's pulling it down or sending it up the ridge.
That is cool.
I grab a little bit of grass and you just go like this.
There's that too. Yeah.
Fluffy.
A little harder to check your thermals with the grass though. Yeah, no. What is that? The salt grass?
Salt bay. Yeah. The grass
bay. grass bay. Yeah. So backpack. So I do have my kill kit, my backpack, which will include like a bushcraft knife. It will also do like a skinning and kind of gutting knife. It's a combo pack. I wish I could remember. I think it's Alaska Knife Company or something. I can't remember the brand of it. They're extremely sharp. And yeah.
Just because Adriel asked me to, you know, learn, the master asked the student to learn. Steve Ranilla, the meat eater, mentioned that he uses a bone saw. Do you?
I don't, in processing, yes, I'm not while I'm out in the field, no. And like on deer, so Adriel was talking about the hatchet for the rib cage. On a deer, I actually don't split the rib cage. I find a deer is short enough that I can get up in and cut the esophagus without having to split the rib cage. On the moose, absolutely, we would use a silky saw to split the rib cage on the moose. The bone saw, I think that's more for your processing when you're packing stuff up, when you're breaking it down and packing it up, packing your meat to freeze. So yeah,
you can use it right here, and you can also use it on
the pelvis. You could use a bone saw for the rib cage if you wanted, absolutely. Yeah. If you wanted to split that rib cage, or if you wanted to split the pelvic bone so you didn't have to stuff up the rear end to get certain plumbing taken out. I got the skin and gutting knife. That's part of the kill kit. The bushcraft knife, that one is a, if I need to do anything bushcrafty while I'm out there. Also, if I'm breaking it down, I want to use that bushcraft knife on the joints. Because your joints will dull your knife so fast. And so my skinning and gutting knife, I keep those, they are razor sharp. And I don't want to dull them. So I'll use my bushcraft knife to break a joint if I need to. I will also have some, part of that kill kit is game bags. Size appropriately for, and I buy the washable ones. So not like the cheap little cheesecloth ones. Like these ones, you could just, they're almost like a light canvas. They're washable, so you don't have to keep buying them over and over and over again. You just got to apologize to your wife while she's washing bloody game bags out in the washer.
Aye, do it yourself. Jesus Christ.
Well, no. I have to apologize for the washer.
Yeah.
But...
Oh God! Hand washing much? Jeez.
No, I'm not hand washing. No, I'm putting them in the machine.
The gore and the guts and all that's going. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna say size appropriately for the game. Although I just have my elk ones in there right now because deer was always a drag out thing. Mm-hmm. So, because if you're, especially if you're packing, you're going to want to break that down, and depends on the animal, how far you got to go. You want to either quarter it or even debone it.
What's the maximum distance you will consider dragging a deer out?
Or it depends on the terrain.
I don't drag them unlimited.
Yeah.
Unlimited. It's got to come out.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If I'm going to, that that's not a consideration after the shot. That's a consideration before the shot. Like, hey, you know, I'm up there pretty far from the truck. I don't want to be packing this. Or that elk, I've done it where it's like looking down there. It's like, I actually don't want to take this shot.
So, yeah.
Because I don't want to have to pack you up out of there. Granted, it didn't matter because the shot wasn't given to me, but you got to take all those things into consideration. Also in my bag, I will have like snacks. So like a little trail mix, chocolate bars. I might even put like my jet boil and a meal in there, depending on how far of a hike I'm going on. But if nothing else, just some snacks to get you that can get you through the day. You're going to have some water with you, at least half a liter of water in the backpack. I will also carry an emergency bivy I put in my backpack. It's like those space blankets, but it's a bag that you can crawl into. Fire starting kit, because in my opinion, if you're going on that pack, you should be able to survive overnight out of that bag.
Yep.
So, and I will even put like a whetstone, like a small whetstone or something in that backpack as well, so that I can touch up knives if I need to on an animal. And some, I guess the last thing for that list is some paracord. And
no one mentioned ear protection.
I will. Don't worry.
I am bad for that. When I go hunting, I don't bring it. It's one shot. I found
so loud.
You don't notice it.
Yeah.
Like, you won't notice
it's loud.
I don't. When I take the shot on an animal, I don't notice the loudness.
Interesting.
It's loud. Your ears will ring. But who cares? It's one less thing to take.
So for camp stuff, this one's going to be a little bit different than my normal one because I am overlanding it. Mm-hmm. So.
Jeep.
Yeah, I need my Jeep
stuff.
Jeep stuff.
So I will probably have a flat of water in my cooler on the Jeep. So I have more than enough water. And there's probably a gallon. Actually, I can tell you right now, there's a gallon jug of water in there as well, along with the flat of water. This time, I'm probably just going to do dehydrated meals. I'm not going to pull out my stove and cook any big meals. So I will need, breakfast and supper probably for 2 days, or a lunch or something like that. So like two breakfasts and two entrees for dehydrated meals. I think I actually have three sitting in my dry box that comes with me. So my dry box, I'll just put that, although, so I have a dry box that I take that it just goes in there all the time. It's got coffee in it. It's got my jet boil in it. It's got a rack. Actually, I could probably pull it out here right now while I do that.
Pest food, coffee,
That could take a while. So. Yeah. So it's got frying pans, it's matches, barbecue lighters. Yeah, it's got a lot of stuff. And it's not even that big of a dry box. Because I'm in the Jeep, I'm not going to sort through it. That's going in the Jeep. Just the same as the Blackstone is in the Jeep right now. It will be out there. So, hey, if I shoot a deer, maybe I'll fry up some back straps. So I already have some seasonings and basic stuff for cooking on there. I also have propane for the stove as well. So, yeah, that's cool. Outside of the dry box, but yeah. Same thing, fire starter. A hatchet. Well, it's all my overlanding stuff. I got two things up on the roof, so I have pillows and blankets in one of my rooftop containers all the time. And the other one has just miscellaneous stuff, fire starting stuff. It's got a camp lantern. I got hatchets up there. I got spare cordage. It's just a random mix match. Also, Drybox also has a first aid kit, even though, because I have not replaced my medic kit yet, but it does have a first aid kit that I've gone through and made sure it's got enough stuff to at least get me by.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good one.
Cool. I also have
the rifle, so I assume you're using the knife on the deer, right?
Yes. Yeah, well, that knife is a bushcraft knife, so if I need anything around camp, anything I need to do, that knife is what is used for that.
Or if you forgot the rifle, that the knife gets used on the deer.
Yes, well, yes, if I need to slit the throat, that bushcraft knife will do that. I was about to say something else. Oh, I also have a GRMRS radio in my Jeep as well. And a lot of the guys around my area run on channel 16. So right now I am on, it actually monitors two channels. So right now, because of last weekend, I am monitoring channel 16 and 7. Seems to be, that's the only two channels I've had to use out here for that. I also have my tablet with tablet mount and my phone. I will have pre-downloaded GPS maps. And so all my navigation stuff, my overlanding rig. So it's all there. It's like a setup. I have monitors everywhere, it seems. And yeah, cause I haven't gotten, but I also have ways of charging. I have air compressor cause I air down my tires. So I have air tire deflators. I have my air compressor on the truck. So if I need to air up my tires, I have a toolkit in my Jeeps just in case I need a saw cassette, wrench set, anything that goes on around camp or to the vehicle. Winch is mounted on the truck.
Like if we went through,
I mean, I got a lot of stuff on there. Like it's an off-road rig that I'm taking out hunting. So
yeah, Jeep stuff.
Yeah.
Jeep guy stuff, prepared for everything. Proper Boy Scout. Dustin, what about you?
You're muted.
I'm mute.
Unmute no. button. That needs to go.
There we go. Sorry. So I'm not quite as bad as Kyle, but I'm close. There's a lot of crossover. So I actually usually I have a waist pouch that I like things in. Like I'll haul things around in a belt.
Fanny pack is what we call those. Yeah.
Yeah, the Tactical fanny pack. That's my favorite thing in the world. And then I also I've got a little It's for like a water pouch backpack, but I have a whole bunch of other nifty stuff in there. So starting out, yes, I also always have the big bush knife on my belt. That's, you know, the useful get everything done knife. I think very, very important. And then in my fanny pack pouch, I have my more important skinning buck knife. I have had it for every hunt I've ever gone on. I got it from my grandfather, and it's not the best knife in like that you can ever buy, but it is special and it is super sharp. And that's you know what I'm going to do to open up everything. And going through in my in my fanny pack, I like to keep some snacks. That's also important. Just a little trail mix there. And I also always have some water in the bag. Water, it's, you know, you go out all day. Water is very important, and more of it is more better. And then what else? Sorry, I just started scribbling things down. This is something that I noticed that and I have a reason for this. So I also carry a GMRS radio and in my backpack. And I also carry a flare gun. So the terrain around here, like so the areas that I like to go hunting, like some of it can be pretty steep. And I actually, there's a beautiful buck that I missed shooting because I slipped off a log and took like a real scary tumble down a hill. And I could have hurt myself. I got lucky I was young and I didn't, but I very, very easily could have been stuck there. And, after that happened, I started carrying a flare gun with me just in the event that if I did, you know, trip and break my leg somewhere, I could at least signal for help if I can't move. Because, again, some of the terrain out here is it can be unforgiving. As far as the GMRS radio, I also I've been laminating little frequency cards, and I make sure that one of my frequencies for my radio is always on whatever the local logging channel is in the area, and then, you know, the other one's just going to be whatever my like normal channel, and then I let anybody that I'm going away know, like, okay, these this is where I'm going. These are the frequencies I'm going to be on, you know, but that way, if I do get myself into trouble, I'm more likely to be able to contact someone than not. Paracord also in the backpack. I also have a game bag in the backpack. So usually when I take the deer out here are really small. So like I'll open them up, gut them, you know, let the blood drain out, get them all cool. And then I'll actually just string them up like a backpack over.
I was going to ask if you're going to backpack them. Yeah.
I never drag them out, cause they're all really, really small. So I just kind of wear them out. Which I think is, it works.
It was rather interesting on my first island deer doing that.
Yeah, I guess. That's it. Like, I'm used to mostly hunting island deer and like that kind of environment. So a little bit different. What else do I have here? Something that none of you guys noted that I always carry a couple sets of is nitrile gloves. Because when I got the deer, I put on gloves. I like to not get my hands all bloody and gross. Don't look at me like I'm.
You put them right in there, right in with the gut shot deer. I'm like, just start ripping guts out of there.
I'm probably more concerned about cutting myself. I'll probably have cut proof gloves, but.
No, it's honestly.
They're going to get gored up.
Yeah.
That's okay. They're from work. I can get another set.
In my fanny pack pouch, I always have my deer call. Always carry a headlamp in there, and then I've always got another flashlight in my bag. I'm the same. I'm a big believer. Anytime I go out in the bush, I assume something could go wrong, and I could get stuck there overnight. And so, like all of the very, very standard stuff, illumination. You know, I've got a little fire kit. Just some basic. You know, three ways to make fire is always better than no ways to make fire. I also have one of those little emergency bivvies. They're fantastic. I've never had to use it, but they're cool and better than, again, not having. And they compress down to like super small, so it just sits in the base of my backpack, and it's a thing you kind of forget about. Obviously, licenses, tags, all of that stuff, always really, really important in the fanny pack. I haven't used that term so many times in my life because I just call it a pouch. But wool socks. So I'm a princess, and I don't usually go out when it's minus 40 because we don't have that here. But we, you know, it gets cool and it gets very wet. And Darn Tough wool socks are fantastic. I swear by them. They're a little on the expensive side, but I think they have like a lifetime warranty. They're bulletproof socks. If someone's looking for good wool socks that'll keep your feet warm and dry even when those conditions are not, those are the ones. I also do take my electronic ear pro out if I know I'm gonna be like, if it's like I'm in the area. I like having the bionic hearing a lot, and I already have a lot of hearing damage. There's been a lot of years of being a kid maybe shooting guns without ear pro that I'm paying for now. So any time I get a chance to mitigate that, I do. The one other thing that I always keep in my pocket. So we don't have, like, there isn't a 5-round mag capacity limit in BC for hunting. But I still hunt with a 5-round mag, even like if I'm going in a semi, usually when I would take out a semi auto, I always hunt with a 5-round mag, but I always brought with me a 10-round pistol mag in my pocket for the trip back. Because I like to go, I'll go a ways away from the truck. Like, I like to go stomp around in the bush and kind of get myself lost. And I have encountered many big kitty tracks and other predators in the, you know, there was one deer that I was stalking. And then all of a sudden, so I was following the tracks. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that's a big kitty is also stalking this deer. And then realized that the cat had gotten the deer, and I was very conscientious about where I was for a little bit and just, okay, get out of this area. Cause we do have lots of mountain lions out here. They're real, they're big, they can be scary. So I like having just that. Put that 10-round pistol mag in. I'm like, okay, if I really need to kill something quickly, I've at least got a chance. Right. And I think that's more or less it for what I usually take, out into the bush. Obviously, I also like to wear a lot of blaze orange because I'm deeply afraid of getting shot. So I've got a toque, and often I'll actually have my fluoro vest too. So if I'm in like an area where okay, there could be somebody up on that ridge or somebody here who may not notice me right away. I'll throw the vest on because, you know, the deer don't care and it's a good opportunity to not get shot. So there's most of the like photos of me hunting. I'm very, very visible. yeah. And then most of the same kind of gear that I keep in the truck. I don't do too much camping out there, but I'm always prepared to get stuck out for a day or two because, you know, you never know.
I didn't go over my clothes. I've just realized.
Go for it.
So clothes. I am a camo guy. I do take my camo quite seriously and very picky on it. But with that sense, it doesn't actually have to be camo. What I'm looking to do, and a lot of the camos out there don't accomplish this because they're just too dark. They try and look like realistic bush and don't accomplish what camo is supposed to do. So I'm looking to just break up my silhouette. So this time I think for this area, my camo is actually going to be too dark, except for my cool weather stuff. My Columbias, I will be bringing a insulated pants and a jacket that I will be bringing for my normal like middle of the day stuff. Cause probably looking at like 70 degrees midday down to 30s in the morning Fahrenheit. So from freezing till like 20 degrees Celsius, I will probably be wearing like my 511s, like a light tan or even like the green 511 pants, tactical pants, like ripstop and top. I might even just go like with a flannel because the flannel, if you get the right color of flannel, it's going to break up your silhouette. And that's your main thing with camo is trying to break up your silhouette. People try and look like the bush. No, you just want to break up your silhouette. That's why I won't bring anything that's just black out. Even a black hat. I won't bring a black hat. That being said, I have hunted with a dark tan one, which is basically the same thing out in the bush. But really trying to not wear any like big dark colors, as you're just gonna stand out like a sore thumb.
No solid colors. Like you probably wouldn't wear something that's a little bit too, I don't know, matching the rest of the anything like that.
Yeah, see, I'm not a blaze orange person. I'm not, unless they mandate that I have to. I'm not a blaze orange person. I don't like showing my skin. In fact, I'm probably going to be pulling out either makeup or something because your human skin reflects so much light. You could see that miles away. And so like that's how, where I go, where I don't like seeing my face. So I will usually have like my shemagh. My shemagh always comes with me. It's a light tan shemagh. So it helps in cold weather. It also helps in dusty weather. And it helps when I need to just hide my face, my skin.
I know it's a big concern if you're hunting turkey, but does it really matter for hunting big game?
Some of the stuff, like the orange, I agree with Dustin and Ariel, the orange does not matter. I would prefer getting the orange that has like the black spot, so it kind of simulates camo, because then it's not just one bright solid color. You still have a chance of at least breaking up your silhouette and still be seen by human eyes. Like I said, I do like camo, but if I'm buying camo, for one, I'm big on noise. A lot of stuff I won't buy off the internet unless I've already checked it out in person, because like the QU stuff, I think QU makes one model that is acceptable to me for noise.
A lot of the stuff you swish around, even moving your head,
makes so much noise.
Yeah, especially like if you're, and this comes from stalking deer in the bush. On a spot and stalk, maybe not quite so much until you get onto that stalk, but when you're stalking through the, you're on a walk through the bush, and all of a sudden you're just, you're never going to see anything. Right? So it's an unnatural sound, and that's the thing. Like, don't be afraid to make noise, but natural sounds, not unnatural sounds.
So most of my like hunting clothes are in fact camo, but there's an order of operations for the importance for those clothes. Will they keep me dry? Will it keep me warm? And then how quiet is it? And like all three of those boxes have to be checked kind of in that. I don't actually care too much about the camo. It's never really been a huge, maybe it has been a huge differentiating factor in the things I've gotten or not, but I've been relatively successful at shooting deer when I'm still colorful. But kind of what Adriel said there, a lot of the places that I go, like I'm a couple of hours access from Vancouver. There is a lot of really stupid people here. Yeah. And there's a fraction of them who have managed to get themselves gun licenses. And there's, not all of them have hunting licenses. That doesn't mean that they're not going to go out into the bush and shoot guns. That is also a problem. Mm-hmm. And there's been a couple of occasions where you hear a shot ring out. It doesn't sound like super close, but then the vest comes out. That's when like, okay, going to make it very clear that I am a human. And
By the way, I hate how you... That's bugging me how you wrote that she-mag. It looks so wrong. boots. So, yeah, I'll have camp shoes, like a pair of Hey Dudes or whatever for camp. Hiking boots. I don't know what I'm going to be bringing here because my normal hunting boots have Thinsulate. They're like 600 or 800 gram Thinsulate, which at 70 degrees will not be pleasant.
Nope.
So...
Kyle, I'm seeing Shemagh spelled like that and then the other way.
It's like Shemagh-y.
Yeah, I'm seeing it spelled like this and then also seeing it spelled like...
Just the way it looks like Shemagh.
Yeah, I'm also seeing it like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it's just totally the like Shemagh, kind of like, yeah. It's like, what?
It looks cooler this way now.
Yeah, more sophisticated. Socks, try and stay away from cotton, but... Like when it's warmer weather, like what I'm dealing with, it's really hard to find a super light natural fiber sock. So mm-hmm. I will have a pair of wool socks with me, but they'll be my normal like work socks that I bring that are just super thin because with the heat deal down here, super thin crew sock or tube sock, whatever. Yes, my SpongeBob SquarePants socks.
Adriel kind of touched on it too, on the importance of layering. So like obviously hunting in Alberta versus hunting, you know, out in like coastal BC is different, but layering for all folks listening is so incredibly important. There's been like, you know, you go out in the morning is like as soon as you can and it's stinking cold out,
mm-hmm.
but then, you know, the sun comes out and you do some hiking and you're wandering around and you're generating some body heat and you want to lose a layer or two. So
yeah, I'll be doing the same thing out here because it's going to be cooler in the morning. So I have that jacket, but I have the lighter wear that I'll be able to pull that jacket off. Even when I was in Alberta, I'd have my long johns pants, a set of outer pants, same thing with the top. I'd long johns shirt, like t-shirt or whatever, my Stanfield's wool sweater. And then jacket, like we're talking, getting down to it's minus 20, minus 30 kind of thing. So, but yeah, down here, you don't have to be so critical on the gear, although it is starting to cool off at night. So you just got to be a little bit cognizant of that. But
And also you guys are 100% right. Anytime you're camping, you should always have at least two pairs of shoes. Always have camp shoes.
If nothing else, like, the being able to dry the one set out.
Yep.
And the other. But on the same front, after you've been hiking all day,
yep.
you know, you put 10 miles on hiking or whatever, you don't want to be sitting around in camp with those boots on. It is so nice to slip on. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Crocs or the Hey Dudes. I don't do the Crocs.
What was the Crocs?
They're ugly and awful.
Yeah.
But they're very utilitarian.
Yeah, and every campfire will have at least one set around these days.
I'll do like the Hey Dudes for my camp shoes in a while,
but I feel like I will again. They're, in my opinion, they're a pair of slippers that give you more protection on your toes, so it's not a bad thing.
I have a pair of like slightly oversized skate shoes that are my favorite camp shoes. They are only for camp. They're just, you know, after it, like you said, a day of hiking, your feet kind of want to swell up a little bit when you take your feet out of your boots, and having like comfy shoes to slip into that are still shoes. And but yeah.
So one important one for down here is a hat.
Yes.
And actually, like, not, I will be bringing like either like a cowboy hat or one of those leather Outback hats.
Yeah. Can you actually add the wide brim hat to mine too, Adriel? I never go out without it.
Like just for protection from rain. yeah, that one. The beer hat. But just protection from the sun, protection, just make it nicer if it does start raining on you, like Dustin, it would.
Yeah. I have a wide brim hat for exactly that reason. I look a little goofy because the toque goes over top of it sometimes, but
that's where the schmog is nice, because then I can have that on and I can just wrap the schmog around.
Oh, I definitely have schmog. Mine just are colorful. Mine are all like light blue. A couple of them. I swear by that. They keep you so nice and cozy, and you can just like, it's absolutely fantastic. But yeah, but the wide brim hat is really nice when the rains happen. And again, out in BC, is it not raining? Wait 30 minutes. It will.
Okay, I'm done now.
Yeah, I think I am too. I think that's more or less everything.
Tony, what are you
bringing? Tony, you want to?
I don't even know. Maybe I'll update this next week, but
let's update it next week.
You're probably going to see me show up like I'm going to shoot a competition.
That'll be good because you underprepare or you miss out on stuff. So now you can bring your list and then of what you brought, and then say, I wish I had brought this.
Oh, did you get my little binos on the fanny pack? I have a small set of binos. Again, most of the hunting I've done has been like inside of 100, maybe 150 yards, whatever like the like longest distance a cut is allowed to be. That's I've just got a little set of binos that's been more than adequate for hunting out here.
Okay, let's see. What's on my list of things to bring? So I have a Vortex Impact A50. This is very much a shooting rangefinder, not a hunting rangefinder.
Don't bring that.
It's still a rangefinder, right? 5x magnification. And I also have, I've grown out of binos. I think it's something to do with my eyes. I can't really see, like, if I keep adjusting the zoom, if the focus, it seems like one of them is always clearer than the other. So I have a Vortex Solo 10x monocular.
Okay.
They use to seize things, not necessarily hunting. Again, for listeners, I'm completely new to this.
People hunt with binoculars.
Yep.
They're more compact.
License tags. I haven't even picked up my tags yet because in Alberta, you get empty tags and then you register them online, so to speak.
Go to Cabela's and get them.
Yeah,
I just walk in and buy the tags and get the tags. They fill them out for you and everything. Then you're not having to do it online, then go buy your tags and fill them out. You just do it all in one spot, one fell swoop.
Yeah.
That's fair. I don't even know what kind of ammo I need to bring.
None.
Do I need to bring a wolf defense arm?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, maybe the question is, can I bring a wolf defense?
Definitely is a yes, right? It's an NR, but yeah, I'm trying to get every excuse to use my PAR. I really like that gun. I do have a hunting knife. It's a buck as well. Again, this is like tag popping season. Like freaking everything's either brand spanking new or like new old stock. It's sitting there for a year because
it's awesome. Don't feel ashamed about it. It's awesome.
I've done my like hunter education like about a year ago. Here we do it online, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For me, usually for hiking, I like to carry a backpack, just how I roll, I guess. It's very much focused on technology. I have like all the freaking cables to charge your phone, your battery bank. life is very much revolving around technology. Is there anything hunting specific I'm going to carry? Probably not at this point.
I would say with your backpack, yes, have your battery pack and cord, but leave that at camp. Well, no, bring a cord and battery pack with you, but on the same token,
nope.
You're not going to have cell reception.
No.
Yeah. He knows the area better than me, so I don't have a reshoot.
Battery in the trailer with chargers.
I should bring a camera.
So we have a phone. There's your camera.
We can film Patreon exclusive content and glorious.
Well, Tony, I don't have it on this list here, Tony, but I am bringing what mics do I have there? Those Rode microphones, three of them.
Nice.
Because Ian's going to be there too, Runkle. So maybe we'll do some video and like getting started with hunting or something like that. I don't know. I'm just bringing it for options, right?
Bring a tripod too.
When you have a nice base camp like that, then that's nice to be able to bring that stuff just in case you get the inkling to do something.
There's the road.
There's the road down here as well.
these are the wireless goes. So.
Oh, those are great.
Yeah, run multiple people.
Yeah. That's mostly just camping stuff. Food, water, things like that.
We'll update it next week.
Yeah. I've got it.
Wireless go.
Yeah, I've got a set of those just out of reach. But they'll be useful tomorrow or Friday.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we we got the revision. I'm gonna put that spreadsheet on our show notes for today or on the website if you're listening to this. So it'll be on the slamfireradio.com if you want to go on there and add your things or comment on the YouTubes or I don't know, email us with the stuff that you think we missed.
Yeah, email your list in and tell us on how overpacked I am. Or
you have a truck, you'll be all right.
That's the thing, this is a different style of hunting for me. Normally I was prepping for backpack hunting, so it's treating it like backpack hunting, drive out, but everything was contained in a pack. Now my truck is my camp, so completely different style of camping. It'll be interesting, but so send your feedback on your hunting list where you think we might have screwed up, or let us know if we gave you an idea that you don't carry and thought was good.
You can also you can put the carry pistol in your lineup. That's because you can.
I was gonna leave that out.
Also, is this still whitetail in New Mexico, or is it a different species of deer?
So supposedly they have whitetail and mule deer. My tag is quite literally a forked deer. So typically I've seen mule deer. But yeah, my tag is antler horn tag. Yeah, so species deer. Bag limit, any fork antler deer. So
I love it. I wish.
Yeah. But we can talk afterwards. Let's get into listener feedback. And we got an email.
Kelly requested me to read it. Hey Slamfire, Tony, come by Bass Pro Outpost. NE, I'm assuming northeast in Calgary. There's technically two Bass Pros. Cabela's when I'm working, and I will take you through the good options we have available, or at least I'll get you a hands-on stuff to help you help with your decision-making. Keep smiling. And I think that was sent in by Ben Yeoman Lewis. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna leave the name out of it because he was telling you exactly where to go. But
fair. That was an oversight on my part. But I guess we have listeners working at Cabela's. Bass Pro nowadays. Yeah.
All right, Tony. Why don't you continue on with the YouTube? Unless you want me to grab them this week.
Yeah, I will grab the YouTube comments. Wait, where did it go? Okay, I see them now. We have. In total, three comments. Eddie was the two. Tony, 223 Remington 55 grain FMJ bullets with a cannular, ALA. I'm thinking he is saying AK. M193 will probably work okay on coyotes. If you have enough velocity or literally yaw and fragment on impact, it was the design intention for it to be a kind of a fragmented thing, 5.56. Yes, Euromax is a huge company. They own Walther and Hammerly, German A, MMERLI. I have no idea who they are, but Walther, I have an idea. As for upcoming Black Friday deals, count me in as cheapskate times three. That's between me and Adriel, I guess. Second comment from him, Kyle Masada, doesn't recommend modifying triggers on carry guns. It's most likely it would get into trouble legally. But it may cost you extra lawyer fees to fight over in court. The Canik have precision triggers for striker fire pistols. It is up there with the Walther PPQ and PDP. The TP9 Elite SC was sold in Canada with a 4.25-inch threaded barrel. But we still cannot buy one until the handgun ban is repealed.
Okay, I wonder if that was a similar thing, because I think, we got the Glock 48s, but they were special with longer barrels, I believe, or maybe that was a different model. Glock 19s, I believe, came with a longer barrel than what come in them down in the States, too, so it's probably the same thing. And, yeah, I talked about wanting to do the trigger, and, yeah, no, I know that's remembered from the book I read, who that author was inspired by Masoud Ayoub. And yeah, modifying triggers on your carry gun is possibly not the best idea.
And I forgot what that book is called.
Rules of Self-Defense.
Yeah.
Laws of Self-Defense.
You mentioned it so many times. And we have a comment from M48-5. Good gun. Biggest takeaway from this show, Adriel wants a big muff to put his hands in. Also, you should totally take Ian for deer, which is a good idea. And we might.
That is a great idea. You should do that, Adriel.
Might have been a listener suggestion.
Yeah.
Maybe this listener.
Yeah.
I forgot about one thing that I wanted to mention. There's a new 180.
It's a crazy 180 Canadian made.
Yeah,
I like the production value in the website they put in there. Like, that was, you're muted, Dustin.
I don't. It's a little bit much for me. but yeah, West Tech, it has the Sarissa. It's a 180. It's going to use 1913 like Picatinny rail on the back. Ambidextrous charging handle on top. Proprietary. They're not going to sell them for consumers to start with, though.
Apparently, gas tube.
Yeah, gas tube, M-Lock NQD compatible handguard.
So are they going military LEO? Like,
yeah,
that's what they claim.
LEO,
but I think they do have the plan, because one of the thing they mentioned is one of the barrel is 18.7 inches. So
yeah, it would be stupid of them not to. This is the first 180 that I've liked.
West Tech. In Orangeville, Ontario.
In Ontario, correct.
It's
so nice. Is it just me, or is it kind of got some stuff like a Jackal-esque?
Yeah.
Jackal is long stroke, though.
Or maybe I'm thinking the wrong one, where it was like, you test, it was very blocky and bolted together.
The 180, Dave's gun.
Oh.
The jarred 180.
Jarred, yes.
Yeah, it does.
No, this looks nice in a jarred.
Well, yeah, it looks nicer, like, but it's got, it almost looks like it got some elements from
it. It's a similar idea, right? Gas tube in the front, but a integrated recoil system that doesn't rely on a buffer tube.
This bolt is doing something weird. I don't know if you guys see that.
Yeah.
Why is that cut out there, and why are they just kind of like flopping out? They're not like ripping out of there.
No, there's
something weird going on there.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you posted this...
Oh, it is very interesting, because, yeah, it's like hitting the ejection port.
Yeah.
There's no shell deflector. They're just kind of like flopping out of there. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Just interesting ejection pattern, I guess.
I said...
tested it with a left-hander. Okay.
I'm not going to say undergassed. It's so tuned down on the gas, it's just flopping them out of there.
Mm-hmm.
I was intrigued when you posted this in the group chat. It was the first one, like first 180 anything that I was like, oh.
Doing something different.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who, how are you going to attract LEO? Like, that's so dominated in Canada.
Well, never mind. You're going to try and sell LEO and military on a 180 platform.
Yeah, good luck.
Like,
it's like we have.
If they pay any attention at all, they're no, get out of here.
So my little theory about that would be that's probably the basis that they have for their business license in the first place, right? So like they have to make samples to attempt to go after that market with the knowledge that they are going to be going after the civilian market.
It's like a US dealer sample.
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
It's like, like a law letter.
Yeah, exactly. I suspect that that's probably why, but they're making that for the civilian market almost certainly.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Keeping up with the comments tonight, Instagram, Discord, there's been some talk on the
preliminary price is $3,000. I believe there was a preliminary price out there.
I'm less interested.
So, yeah. Well, until it gets unless it proves itself, like that's starting to get to BNT territory.
I was just gonna say, when we're into BNT prices, I'll just go buy something like that.
Yeah, that's been proven.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything come through on Spotify. If you are on our website, you want to go check out that checklist that Adriel's going to post up there. While you're there, check out the Cabela's and Brownells link if you're going to do any online ordering. Go there, click on those, give it a little kickback. At some point, when we decide to, we will go through a list of purchases and say our thoughts.
Oh, I should have had it ready for today.
Yeah, I should have had it.
We're running a little bit long.
Oh, yeah, we're...
Yeah.
We also would like to thank our Patreon and player supporters. And if you would like to support us, you can support us there as well. And if you would like to send the show an email, you can send the email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. And let's get into shout outs. You got a shout out? Just shout it out.
I would love to shout out Josh at the CFP. If you're listening, you are a true gentleman and a scholar. Thanks for being so awesome, cool, and fast at fixing what that other lady said she couldn't.
Perfect. Tony?
Kyle, anything?
Well, do you got anything?
I do. I'll shout out Steve for lending me out of stuff first, so maybe I'll get a medal for my participation. And I'll shout out Adriel for taking on the freaking god task of, I don't know, probably detriment to his own hunting career of, or maybe even the group success could be. And we'll see how I make out this weekend. Probably not very well.
You won't ruin the group success. And if you shoot something, great. And if you don't, you'll have fun.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. Mm-hmm. Adriel, you got any?
No.
All right. Even though I know probably none of them are going to list, I'm going to shout out the Overland New Mexico group that went out with there last weekend. It hadn't known any of them. It was just a Facebook group. They're doing a quick trip. Jumped in with them. And great people. Same thing as everything. Great group of people, and it was a fun little trip. So
it has a lot to do with guns, because I bet there was a lot of firepower
actually
between the group of you.
No, it was just a good group of guys. We went, checked out a ghost town.
That's cool. You all had guns. Come on, you were with an Overlander.
There was probably more there. There was only three that came out.
That's what I mean. I know. So I've got some friends down in Washington, similar, where they're like, there will be lots of guns that get traveled wherever they go.
Yeah, like I open carried because I was in and out. Well, I got my holster on the truck so that I just pop it in there while I'm driving. But then I'm out in the bush. I don't need a concealed carry. I open carry out in the bush. So
yeah.
But
no one's going to get close enough to snag it from you.
Well, it's just more a comfort thing at that point.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Accessibility.
Yeah. With that, we are going to sign off. So go join our Discord server. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Player. Join the CCFR, and we will see you next week. Good night.
Good night.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.